The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC. Baltimore is listening to Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County. Time again for the Outdoorsman Radio Show. Here are your hosts, Alan and Robin Ellis.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show, where we talk about fishing, hunting, and the great outdoors. Not many people going outdoors today. It is the last day of the Maryland turkey season, spring turkey season. So I imagine somebody's out there for a last-ditch effort today. And it's probably not a bad day to be out there. If you can get in a ground blind or something like that, or wear some clothing to protect you from the rain, you should be okay. The turkey's still got to eat. And I will tell you, I had the most exciting turkey hunt on Monday that I've ever had. Many of you know, I mentioned the name Chris, who was a former producer here. Chris and I traveled to Worcester County near Snow Hill and met up with my friend, Dan Zinkin, who's taken over 100 gobblers in his lifetime. He's very well known in the turkey community here in Maryland. He's been involved in a lot of the chapters and fundraisers and things like that. Dan is a retired electrician, but still extremely, extremely active. So he's got some property there. He's on a lease, and he's got some property that he's got permission to hunt. And has for years. And he knows pretty well where the birds are going to be. He's got them kind of figured out. He did harvest one the first day on a logging road. And he and Chris were in a stand. I was on that logging road, but at the opposite end of where it meets the woods or comes out of the woods. And, comes out. That's not the wrong way. That's the wrong way to say it. There's a... I guess there's an end to that logging road where I was watching, probably close to 300 yards away. At that end, Dan has set up a camera, and he's got a place up there, and that's where he harvested the bird, about 300 yards from the ground blind where I was sitting. And Dan, walked me in. He set up a couple of decoys, and he told me which way to watch. They come out of the woods here. They'll come down the road. They come up here from your left. There's a field behind you where they bug that's in range, shooting range, and that type of thing. And when I mean bug, that's where the turkeys go. The grass is higher. There's some pine needles there they scratch up. And the area was all scratched up. I mean, there were a lot of turkeys in there. So I felt pretty good about the spot. And after daylight, I felt even better because here comes birds. And one, two at a time, turkey hens were marching down that road. One of them came out of the woods and went right back in. And they, one or two at a time, they'd come, they'd walk by me, they'd go in the field and bug. And the next to the last or last one that came by, number six or so, five or six, I can't remember, was quite vociferous. She would call. And I mean, I would call from time to time in between the hens. Just light calling, light clucking, light purring, and light yelps on my pot call. I'm not sure if it's slate or aluminum or what it is, but I think it might be ceramic. Anyway, I would call lightly. Never got a gobble. I could hear Dan call very rarely, very occasionally, and he was much louder caller than I was. So. Anyway, the birds kept coming, and the number six or seven, she started to cluck and putt and purr, and she was just all over the place there. She yelped a little bit, and I thought, well, why call? I've got a natural turkey call right here beside me, 15 yards. So she walked up and down the road, and she called. Dan texted. He said, they'll probably start coming in about 9:30, 10 o'clock. Well, this was shortly after 9, and I had a show. I fell asleep at one point, and I heard a loud noise, and I'm sorry I missed the show, but two hens were turned and headed back up the road where they came from. Apparently, they had come in and gotten a fight with one of the decoys. The decoy was knocked out of position. It was on a stake, and they had pounded this thing and knocked it up the stake, and that's the noise that woke me up, was that them smacking that plastic decoy. So I'm sorry I missed it, but that's how she goes. Anyway, so sure enough, around 9:30, I look up way up the road, and I see black dots coming out of the woods there and stepping onto the road, and I'm like, okay. Got the binoculars out, at least three hens and two birds that had red heads, and I thought, oh, okay, we got two gobblers coming, so let's see what happens. Well, one was a Jake, and I could tell that with the binoculars. The other one was a Longbeard, and he started to strut. And he strutted, and he turned around in a circle, and he strutted for the ladies. And the ladies are unimpressed because they pretty much ignored him. And he would, he and the Jake would hang together and back and forth. And, well, this went on for 30 minutes, and each strut got a little closer because that's where the hens were coming. They'd sit and they'd stand and watch the show for a little bit, and then they'd move a few yards. 30 minutes it took them to come that distance. So somewhere along the line, they picked up another hen, came out of the woods. Oh, I missed a part. About 9 o'clock, I had a gobbler shoot across the road in front of me about 60, 70 yards, and I thought that might go to Chris and Dan, but that was just a little sidebar because didn't get a shot at him, but he was a nice gobbler, big bird. So anyway, and he wouldn't answer a call. So he was after the live hens. He was after the one that was clucking, in the woods already. So here they come, and I called real lightly, and I heard one gobble out of that bird. But he was more interested in dancing and, showing off his tail feathers to the ladies than anything else. So onward they marched, get to, 150 yards, and they'd stop, and he'd strut. And then they'd come to 100 yards, and he'd stop and strut, turn around, do his thing. So, and the Jake this whole time, he looks like he's lost. He has no idea what's going on. The hens are like, yeah, whatever. Seen this before. So the hens keep coming. They keep coming. Now, there's four of them. And they get to the decoy, which is probably 30 yards out. They didn't do anything this time to the decoy, but now they're close enough to see any movement that I've got in the window of the ground blind. So I am still as can be. I'm in a nice chair. I've got the barrel of the gun out the one window of the blind, and not moving, not quivering, not doing anything. And, the red dot is ready to go whenever the time gets close enough. And as the hens got even closer, within 20 yards, I thought, well, they can see me breathing. They're going to be able to tell anything that happens here. And he strutted one more time at about 30, 35 yards. He turned around the circle. He put his tail feathers down, and he cocked his head to the side. And that was his last moment. Well, of course, turkey pandemonium took off. There's a dead, dying turkey in the middle of the road, and there's middle of the logging road, and there's turkeys going flying everywhere. I'm like, okay, all right, there we go. So I go out and get him and bring him back to the edge of the blind and, celebrate a little bit on my own. I did text, and I said, strutter down, or, dead gobbler, or something like that to those guys, and got, congratulations back. But in the middle of all this, I get a picture from Dan, and he said, these are probably the birds you're looking at. Apparently, his trail camera captured a photo of the birds coming my way, which was pretty cool. So, like I said, epic hunt, all done by 10 o'clock. And it was a great morning. Chris had an opportunity. Only turkey hunted twice. He was does not have a turkey gun. He was using one of Dan's guns, which is normal practice. And a turkey came in, and it's at 10 yards. And Dan said, oh, look, it's a hen. And they had seen a couple hens. And he said, it's a hen, another hen. And he said, no, it's a gobbler. And he was handing the gun to Chris. And I don't know if Chris was looking at the bird and not the gun, but he tapped the side of the blind, which was basically a deer blind, and it went dink. And he got the turkey's attention. And as he put the gun over, he hit the other side, went dink again. And, of course, the turkey decided he'd heard enough odd noises, and off he started to go. And Dan's like, shoot, shoot, shoot. And he got in the still in range, but got behind some stuff and couldn't take the shot. So at least Chris had an opportunity and a experience of seeing a gobbler that he had never seen before. So that's pretty cool. And then I was telling the other night about, he called the other night, and I was telling him about all the turkey hunts that I've been on, have blown it out because of, you know, certain noises or movements or different color clothing or something wrong that the gobbler didn't like, and off they went. So it's a very, and they just make me laugh. They do. I don't get all wrapped up in turkey hunting. I mean, when it gets serious, but for the most part, if a turkey gets by me, yeah, that's turkey hunting, you know, so a little less serious than deer hunting. So that was my week. We delivered the Maryland Hunting Quarterly to the printer, picked that up yesterday, so I've been out distributing Maryland Loves Crabs, Maryland Hunting Quarterly beginning yesterday, so I've been on the road again, still driving 80,000 miles on the truck, and so that's pretty much my week. How about your week? 410 WCBM 680. Let's talk to Glenn in Chestertown. Good morning, Glenn.
Hey, Alan. How you doing?
I'm good, buddy. I'm really good.
Yeah, I'm okay. Still standing up and looking down to the top of the grass.
That's the main thing right there, buddy. Yep. Yes, sir. Sir, did you get anything done this week? Go anywhere, do anything, enjoy the nice weather?
Enjoying the weather, but I didn't really do much of anything.
Yeah, I got you. So, yeah, well, I've just been all over the place. I've been to Harford County and Baltimore County, and where else did I go? Been to the beach, Delaware beaches. Been to Delaware twice in the last couple of days. Finished all my Delaware deliveries for the Hunting Quarterly yesterday from Sussex to Kent County. Where else? What else? Just been busy, you know, doing my thing. So that's about it. No more turkey hunting. I think I'm done with that. So, I don't think I'll get out today. We've got some birds on the Queen Anne's property. They've been unmolested by me for the last 5 years. So, we'll just let them continue to grow their population. I'm watching the deer on the camera. We've got a couple nice bucks over there. So, watching those hit the mineral site, seeing where they're coming from and that type of thing. So, but that's all I'm putting out. I'm not feeding them. I'm just supplementing them with, I'm using Welsh Mountain, Rack RX 365, which is a new formulation. There's a press release about it in the quarterly. It's, the things that it's made up with, including the same salt that they use for Trophy Rock. Richmond's the company that makes that, and it's good stuff. So, yep. So that's about it, man. That's about it. Seeing some deer moving around, feeding their fawns. It's fawning season. I'm seeing does hit on the road, unfortunately, traveling from one side to the other, of course, and, you know, putting the fawn on one side, one on the other, and they cross back and forth, and, you know, unfortunately, they travel when people are on the highway, and I'm seeing a few of those, which is sad to see. But hearing a lot about coyotes from people in Maryland and Delaware, but catching them in their neighborhoods on their trail cameras, and you know, one of them yesterday is across from in a neighborhood across from a school, and it's a big coyote caught. Video walking through somebody's backyard, and I'm like, oh, that's nice. So.
Yep.
So anyway, well, enjoy your week, buddy.
Yep, me too.
Try to stay dry.
Oh, yeah.
All right. We'll talk to you later, Glenn. Thanks for the call.
Righto.
Bye. Righto. See ya. There he goes. All right. We are giving fish and tackle away at the end of the month with High Tide Tackle, Tim Sherman's company. He's donated some fish and tackle to us again this year for drawings, and it's going to be interesting. This time it's a perch package with some inline spinners and some small rattle baits, lipless crankbaits. It's a pretty nice little package. So if you'd like to win some fish and tackle, all you got to do is call in. 410 WCBM 680. That's our contact number all the time. 410 WCBM. 410-922-6680. 410 WCBM 680. All the same. 922-6680. WCBM 680. You know, that type of thing. And leave your name and number with Aaron, our producer. Good morning, Aaron. How are you doing this morning?
I can't complain one bit. How about yourself?
Good. Good. No problem at all. And leave your name and number with Chris, give us a good accurate phone number. I'm sorry, with Aaron, and give us a good accurate phone number. At the end of the month, everybody's name gets corresponded to a number. The numbers go in the random number generator, and whatever the total is, you know, it picks a number, and that's the winner. So totally, totally random. So there we are. All right, I think we'll take our first break. And, you know, this chilly nights, yep, I've had the Enviro EX35 on and off a little bit. I set the temperature pretty high. But, you know, during the chilly days and nights, the room temperature drops off. So automatically the fire kicks on and warms the room up to temperature and then goes back off automatically. So, you know, we had an old round top fireplace that was just sucking the heat out of the room and never used for decades. And Hearth America at Backyard Village came in and they took a look at that. They have a mason that they work with who was able to adjust the firebox and put up the stone facade behind the fireplace, install the hearth, which is a 150-year-old piece of wood from my friend Mike up in Carroll County. He put the hearth on, and then they installed the fire box for the insert and got everything rolling and hooked it up to the gas and did the chimney work and all that stuff. They did all that, and now we have reliable heat. Hearth America at Backyard Billy's carries Enviro, Regency, and other top brands, and they're all on sale. Check out the freestanding wood and pellet stoves, too, for your primary or alternative heat source. Maybe you got a building or a garage or something that needs heated. Wood stove might be the way to go. You can select a new pellet, gas, electric, or even a wood insert from Hearth America at Backyard Billy's in Graysonville. Why not stop by the showroom? You'll be certainly ready for the upcoming chilly weather if you make a deal. So BackyardBillys.com, the Hearth America Facebook page. Have all the references. Give them a call at 410-827-4500. Hearth America and Backyard Billy's is open 7 days a week, Route 50, exit 44B. That's Evans Avenue, Graysonville. Hey, if it's heat you want, call 410-827-4500 or visit Hearth America at Backyard Billy's. It's the fireplace. We'll be right back.
Madonna Seafood is known for having the best crabs and seafood in Harford County. Madonna Seafood is just a quick scenic trip from Baltimore up to Laney Valley Road. Now, Madonna Seafood Carryout has delicious steamed crabs by the dozen to the bushel, great seafood, pizza, subs, Fisher's popcorn, and a whole lot more. Call into the carryout at 410-557-2722. That's 410-557-CRAB. Madonna Seafood Restaurant is a full-service casual dining restaurant with all-you-can-eat crabs in a quiet atmosphere with an extensive menu. Take exit 27B off the 695 Beltway. That's Delaney Valley Road North, Route 146. Turn left on Norrisville Road, and you've arrived at Madonna Seafood. Madonna Seafood, year-round crabs. 4105 Norrisville Road in Whitehall, Maryland. Madonna Seafood is open at 11 a.m. and closed Mondays. 410-557-CRAB, 2722, MadonnaSeafood.com.
Alan Ellis here for Mil-Spec Spray-On Truckliners.
Mil-Spec Brayon Truck Bedliners provide unmatched protection for your vehicle with the toughest bedliners on the market. And Mil-Spec liners support veterans and military families. Whether you're a hunter, crabber, angler, contractor, farmer, waterman, or weekend warrior, your Mil-Spec liner with a nationwide lifetime warranty protects your truck bed from scrapes and impacts no matter what your gear. Tree stands, tackle boxes, crab pots, any kind of tools. Have your Mil-Spec liner installed at Superior Linings and Truck Accessories, located off Ritchie Highway at 81 Dover Road in Glen Burnie. Call Bobby Hawkins at 410-789-0199. That's 789-0199. And Maryland Spray Linings is just off Security Boulevard, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill. Call Jack Carver. That number's 410-455-0800. 455-0800. These Mil-Spec liner dealers can install any truck accessories, tonneau covers, step bars, toolboxes, truck hitches, and more. Schedule your appointment today to get your Mil-Spec liner installed.
At Delmarva Sporting Clays and Rifle Range, you can practice your wing shooting and sighting your firearms. And now you can relive a bygone era at the new old-time shooting gallery. Plink away at colorful targets just like the carnival days. Use authentic 22 gallery guns and get the ammo right there. 20 shots for only 10 bucks. Tons of fun for the kids or grandkids in a controlled environment. You can compete with friends, book a birthday bachelor, bachelorette party, and have a blast. Located just off Route 50 in Mardella Springs, you'll find a 50-station sporting clays range and a firearms range with distances from 25 to 500 yards. Take Bradley Road to get to Delmarva Sporting Clays. Inside Delmarva Sporting Clays retail store, you can browse new and used firearms in the gun room or select your favorite ammunition. And Delmarva Sporting Clays and Rifle Range will buy or trade your firearm. If you own a collection, they're interested. The website is dscfff.com. Call 410-742-2020. For Delmarva Sporting Clays, Rifle Range, and brand new old-time shooting gallery.
Baltimore is listening to Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County. And now, back to the Outdoorsman Radio Show with Alan and Robin Ellis.
His heart seeing foreign cars filled with fuel, it isn't ours, and wearing cotton we didn't grow. He's got the red, white, blue, blind high on the farm, Semper Fi tattooed on his left arm. Spent a little more in the store for a tag in the back, it says USA. He won't buy nothing that he can't fix, with WD-40 and a Craftsman wrench. He ain't rigid dust, he's just America. He loves his wife, she's that wife that decorates on the 4th of July, but says every day's Independence Day. She's golden rule, teaches school, some folks say it isn't cool, but she says the pledge.
All right, we gotta love it. Who's our caller there, Aaron? All right, let's talk to Steve in Pasadena. How are things in the Dina today, Steve?
Good morning, Alan. How you doing?
I'm good, buddy. What's going on?
Just called in to get into your contest.
Okay, well, you're in. How easy was that? That was pretty easy, wasn't it? We don't make it real difficult. So we've already got the muzzle.
Down at Snow Hill hunting last week.
Yeah.
Seen my second bearded hen.
Really? Didn't take her. Left her alone.
No, I didn't shoot her. I just actually shot a nice tom.
Good. Good. Congratulations. Well, good. Good. There's lots of birds down there. Now, were they calling or were they coming in quiet? What were you doing?
Never heard a gobble.
Right.
But I had plenty of hens out there in front of me clucking that I called in.
Yeah. Well, you called the hens in. That's the main thing. And they,
right.
And when they sound off, what's the point of calling if you got live, you got live birds in front of you calling for you? So I
agree. I had this one walking around the decoys for half an hour.
Yeah. Yeah. So how big was your bird?
It was a good sized bird. Had 7/8 inch spurs and a 11 inch beard.
Oh, nice. Yeah, nice. You got me by the beard. I got 1 inch spurs and 10.5 inch beard. On the scale, the bird weighed 20 pounds. So I was, Dan looked at it. He said it was a very big 2 year old. So, okay. I'll take it. 2 year old. I saw the beard. That's all I needed to see. And got the show of the season, that's for sure, with all the strutting and, you know, dancing around in front of me, and the bewildered look on the Jake's face, and the hens just ignoring the whole thing. It cracked me up. So
yeah, I got some nice pictures too, before and after.
Yeah, good for you.
All right, Alan. Well, thank you, buddy.
Well, listen, I appreciate the call, and good luck on the fishing tackle. And congratulations, right. Congratulations on the Tom Bird.
Thank you, and you as well. See you.
All right. Yep. Take care. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922. That's how we do it. And I'm getting a text here. Who texted? Chris in West Virginia. Steve in Pasadena. Chris in West Virginia. Let's talk to Chris in West Virginia. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
Good morning, Alan.
What's going on, buddy?
Congratulations.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
That's very good. I'm very happy for you. That's got to be a good feeling. I've never shot a turkey.
So. Really, it's pretty exciting. Like I said, I've turkey hunted for years and not been all that successful. I've only taken two longbeards and one Jake. The first two were with my buddy Bobby Dutrow up in Washington County, and I've hunted them on the Eastern Shore. I've hunted them in Anne Arundel County. I've hunted them. Oh, doggone, where all have I hunted them? And, you know, they just make me laugh. They really do. And I've hunted them with some of the best callers. I really have. And especially when I worked at the big box down there at Arundel Mills, there were guys I'd go with all the time. And it was just, just never met with success. There was always something that went wrong, you know.
So, I didn't call hunting, I reckon.
That's right. Well, you know, Chris said that little noise that he made, you know, alerted the turkey. And I said, man, I had a big gobbler coming in Baltimore County one time with a good friend. And we hunted that bird. He hunted that bird for weeks. Of course, we walked in and sat down right under the tree he was roosted in. And he flopped out of there and, you know, scared us both. Anyway, he had him coming back in, and we could see him coming. You know, he's just popping along. He wasn't strutting. He was coming to the call, and I said, my buddy didn't like my gun. I said, well, he said, here, take this, and he said, okay, get the safety off. I got the safety off. It was a Mossberg with top tang safety, and I pushed that safety off, and it went click, and the bird switched ends and was gone. I mean, all it took was a click of a safety. So, anyway, they're very adept at knowing their surroundings, and when something's off, they know it. So, you know.
Indeed. Yes, so, they are.
But it was a learning curve. What's that?
Yeah. Benjamin Franklin wanted to make them the national bird as opposed to the eagle.
He did. There's no question.
Yes.
So I guess they didn't think that a bird that spends more time on the ground than in the air was fitting for, you know, you compare the two. I mean, which one are you going to pick? But I will tell you, you see that red, white, and blue head, it's like, hey, here comes an American, all-American bird. So.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. I'm fine with either one being the national bird. So.
I am as well, yeah.
Yeah, but I will tell you, the taxidermist was able to save the meat, and I'm just having the tail fan mounted on a little plaque with the beard and, you know, some of that the shell and that kind of stuff, you know, just a little. I'm not doing a full mount. I have a full mount of my first long beard, so I'm happy with that one. But anyway,
sure.
he was cleaning it, and I you know, cutting the breast off and that type of thing. I said, hey, save those legs for me. He goes, you want the legs? I said, yeah. He goes, you're the first one ever asked for the legs. I said, you're kidding. I mean, these big old turkey legs, right? So I put those in, soaked them overnight, soaked everything overnight, brined them, brined everything overnight in salt water, and you know, kind of get the flesh a little firmer, get the blood out of it, and that type of thing. And I do that with most game. Mm-hmm. I don't do it with deer, but I do it with most other game. But anyway, I put those two legs in the crock pot, and I used chicken broth, and I used some just generic. You know, great value. Just a pot roast seasoning. I don't know if it great value is Walmart or Giant or whatever, but that's what it was.
Yeah.
Put it in there, mixed up with the chicken broth, and threw an onion in there and an apple, which is, you know, just my thing, and started them on the crock pot. And I checked them every couple hours, and they weren't getting tender. And I thought, well, I'll just set them on warm and do them overnight and start again in the morning, left them in there. And while I was there, I guess it was 11 o'clock the other night, I just poured some maple syrup in there, a couple ounces of maple syrup in there, and let it cook. Next morning, got up and put them on high for about an hour and a half. And got in there, and then the legs started to break up, and I'm like, okay, that's what I want. I want to be able to pick them off the bone and off the... I will tell you something. That is the best dark meat turkey I've ever eaten in my life, bar none. Bar any Thanksgiving in all my 72 years, that turkey was the best.
Well, so, very good.
Yeah.
You know, when you're talking about brining, well, gosh, doing any kind of poultry, it's always good to brine them.
Yep.
Before you cook it.
That's right.
And you're talking about the apple. Gosh, my uncle, he lived out in Harford County, right along Bush River, and we'd go out there duck hunting all the time. And that was his thing. When he'd cook a duck, onions, celery, and an apple in the cavity.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
When I shot the Grand National and got initiated to whatever that organization is you get initiated into, there was a lady there who had a restaurant on the islands are going through my mind right now. Taylor's Island, and she brought a duck recipe over. She called fruited duck. And it had peaches and apples and cherries and all kinds of stuff in it. And I'll tell you, I asked her for the recipe several times, but she sure wouldn't turn it loose. But there's a way to go right there, buddy.
That does sound good.
Yeah, yeah, kind of like a fruit salad with your cooking your duck in a fruit salad. But delicious, absolutely delicious. So
I got the wild idea. I was going to get some chicken, so I got a coop and everything, got a big storage shed and turned it into a coop, built a run for him, and then a buddy of mine called me just before I got my chicks, and he said, hey, I got two ducks, do you want them? So I said, yeah, sure. So now I got two Muscovy ducks. I don't think I'm going to be cooking them up, though.
No? Well, too ugly?
Well, the hen is supposed to be laying.
Oh, is she?
I haven't started laying yet. I've only had them for about a week.
Oh, okay.
So
yeah.
I think the shock of being moved and everything kind of set her off. But
I like duck eggs.
You ever had duck eggs?
You start eating duck eggs, you'll be a happy camper. So,
ooh, I love duck eggs, man.
Yeah, they're good.
They're perfect for doing like an over easy egg, because when you crack them in the pan, they don't spread out. Stop right there.
And, yep.
Yeah. So I'm hoping she'll start to lay in.
Yeah, my daughter and son-in-law have couple ducks and a couple chickens, so they're getting ready to get them laying again, and I know I'll be getting a steady supply of eggs if that happens. So, and what people don't know is you don't have to refrigerate those eggs.
Correct, and you should never wash them.
Never wash them, because that layer of what looks like dirt on the outside is the bloom, and that protects them. And you can leave them out. You can leave them out for a week, 10 days, you know, and they won't spoil.
Yeah.
Think about nature.
Indeed.
You know?
Yes.
You know, those eggs are subject to rain and wind and sun and snow and whatever else, and you know they don't refrigerate those, so, and they all hatch just fine. So, I mean, you're not growing them to hatch anything, but you're certainly, you know, because you're not incubating them, but you know they're very good, very good. So
indeed,
sir.
Well, Alan, right. I'm going to let you go here, my friend.
Well, Chris, I appreciate the call as always. Enjoy your day down there in beautiful West Virginia, and we'll be talking
soon,
I'm sure.
Wild and wonderful.
Wild and wonderful.
Shout out to my buddy Teddy, and I want to thank him for the Bible reading he gave me. So
good.
Take care of yourself, Alan. I'll talk to you next week, I hope, Lord willing.
All right, Chris. Thanks. Take care.
Enjoy your-
See you, buddy. Yep. Always good to hear. It's always good to hear people's expression of faith on this show. You know, we played the song about freedom and that type of thing, and I talk about friendship with Chris and other people, and you know, and family is everything. You know, faith, family, friends, and freedom. I'm just going to stick to that and keep talking about it. And if you don't like it, well, okay. But we're here to give you some relief from that old news cycle that you hear every day of, you know, war and political intrigue and, you know, bad news and all that stuff. So we're just a part of society that likes to enjoy our solitude, enjoy our own peace of mind, get out in God's creation and be a beneficiary of what He has provided for us as far as the joy of being out there, and then the success of harvesting our own food and preparing it, you know, it's terrific. So, all right. Let's see. Yes, indeed. Spurry's Tire Service, located at the corner of Dover and Elliott Roads. That's just off Route 50 here in Easton. I can walk there. It's pretty nice. It's where locals get their tires and their auto service work done. You can feature American-made Bridgestone and Firestone tires, as well as all the top brands. And Spurry's Tire Service has the tires for your car and your truck. And when I bought my tires, I bought the Firestones, Discovery, I think they're called. And I put them on the Bridgestone-Firestone financing plan. Very easy to apply for, as long as you got pretty good credit, you can get it instantly. They set you up on a payment plan, and you can pay what you want when you want. And so I'm doing that, but right there. And they've got hundreds of folks that are on that plan to pay for their tires. It's a great way to go. Spurry's Tire Service has any tire for any machine in your backyard or your barnyard. They have any tire for any truck, any automobile, any make, any model. If you got a garden tractor, a farm tractor, a big old combine, or anything else that uses tires on the farm, they can handle that, because they have their own farm team that goes out to the farms and takes and maintains the tires on your vehicles. And if you own a wheelbarrow, they've got that too, or a boat trailer, utility trailer, a landscape trailer, single, dually, 7-foot little trailer that you haul your furniture on, or a big old tandem, whatever, they've got the tires, no question, and ATVs and UTVs and tractors. Spurry's offers tire repair and full-service automotive repair. They can check, diagnose, and repair your vehicle when that dreaded check engine light comes on. And Spurry's Farm Service team, their 24-hour truck service and more, has kept Spurry's customers, and that includes my family and me, satisfied for over 30 years. And by the way, if you see Mike Spurry in the shop or about town, tell him you heard about Spurry's Tire Service on the radio show. Stop by with no appointment needed for tires, or call Spurry's Tire Service in Easton. That phone number is 410-822-7384. And yes, I said stop by with no appointment and get your tires put on same day if they've got them in stock. You can visit their website, spurrystire.com. And that number again is 410-822-7384 for Spurry's Tire Service. We'll be right back.
Crabs, crabs, crabs. Hunter's Crab and Seafood Market is family-owned and operated seafood market in Graysonville, Maryland. Stop by 4801 Main Street in the heart of Graysonville. Hunter's Crabs is easy to get to from Route 18 or Route 50. Order takeout steamed crabs or shrimp, grab a lunch special, or stop by the seafood counter for a variety of the freshest, freshest fish. Take your crabs home or sit outside with your family and friends. Get your steamed crabs, fresh fish, oysters, crab meat, crab cakes, shrimp salad, and soft crabs at Hunter's Crabs and Seafood Market, where the local seafood lovers get their favorites. Call Hunter's Crabs at 410-827-8923 for carryout. Check out Hunter's Crabs on Facebook for specials. Open Tuesday through Saturday from 10 a.m. till 7 and Sunday from 10 to 5. Crabs, 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 410-827-8923 for Hunter's Crabs and Seafood Market.
Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery. Any battery you need. Battery Warehouse, convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
Hey, if you know a lot about guns or not much and want to learn, Bel Air Gun Range provides a place to shoot, practice, and learn in a family-friendly environment. And you can make your selection from the showroom when you're ready to own a firearm. At Bel Air Gun Range, the public indoor gun range is open 7 days a week with no membership fee required. Rental firearms are on hand. Bel Air Gun Range memberships are available to individuals, couples, and families on an annual basis. Bel Air Gun Range stocks handguns, rifles, and shotguns for shooting sports, competition, hunting, and home protection. Ammunition, too. Bel Air Gun Range buys, consigns, sells, and transfers new and used firearms. Bel Air Gun Range offers personal firearms classes with an NRA-certified instructor. HQL handgun qualification license courses can be taken in a group or virtually from the convenience of your home. For more details about Bel Air Gun Range services, sales, and classes, stop by 2137 North Fountain Green Road in Bel Air, Maryland, or visit the website belairgunrange.com. Call 410-399-9518. That's 399-9518. Be safe, shoot, and have fun at Bel Air Gun Range.
Baltimore is listening to Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County. And now, back to the Outdoorsman Radio Show with Alan and Robin Ellis.
He showed me how to cast a line, where the whitetail live and how to read their sign. He'd lean my gun up against a tree so he could hold a barbed wire fence for me. Yeah, I learned a lot from watching his ways, like how to hunt smart and how to be safe. He said, one of these days, son, you'll be grown. Remember what I taught you and pass it on. Pass it on in the name of conservation. Pass it on.
Very important to pass it on to the next generation. I couldn't agree with that song anymore, and that's what I have tried to do. I got to past that point in my life where, you know, it was all about me, and I started sharing the wealth of the outdoors and the experiences with other people. And, you know, my grandson, my bonus daughter, Laura and Frederick, Chris, and now I've got another generation coming up. My two little grandkids just love hunting, and they love hunting with Pop Pop. So we're moving forward with the plan, and hopefully, they'll be able to pass that on as well. So that's how she goes. And if you don't, you're going to lose it, just like any other skill. You know, modern hunting is crazy. I put feed out. I have a feeder that I'm going to utilize this year. I've seen how effective they are, but, you know, in some states you can't use them. But what I do first, before I do any of that, before I put a camera out, and I only use the camera. I don't hunt with the camera. I just use the camera to see what's out there and when the deer are moving and, you know, check out the animals that we have. I only have one camera at this point. Usually I have two or three. But it does my heart good to click on there and see a fox on the camera or a groundhog or a turkey or something, whatever is out there, you know. And I've got turkeys, and I don't even hunt them on that property. So what I'm saying is the first thing I do is try to learn the property, try to walk the property, try and see where the boundaries are, see the deer trails, see the old rubs, see the bedding areas, find the feeding areas, find the access points, the pinch points, the fingers, some old rubs and scrapes and that type of thing, so I can kind of track where the, this is for deer now, and I'm sure it works just the same for turkeys, although I don't scout per se for turkeys. I do scout, you can certainly see where their trails are. You can follow the turkey droppings. You can see the droppings below the trees where they roost. You can see the leaves and things turned up where they scratch and feed. You can see that, you know, they're going to use a certain trail to go in and access a field if they like to go out there and catch bugs. And, you know, it's just a learning curve to learn how the animals that you're attempting to harvest are moving on the property where you are. And the feeding and the cameras and all that stuff is just extra added attraction. You know, it lets you know what animals are there and what time they show up. What time, you know, if you put a feeder out and you put a camera on the feeder, it lets you know when they're there. And some people just like to see the pictures on their phones, which I do. I like to look at them every day. So, you know, the other day there was a raven, there was a groundhog, there was a hen turkey on the camera all within a couple of hours of each other. And, you know, I like to watch the deer on the mineral that I put out. I've got this little mineral site, and there's a camera there, and I like to watch the deer come in and see how the antlers are growing from day to day and week to week. And, you know, will I ever hunt that deer? I don't know. If the deer shows up, you know, at least I know it's on the farm or visiting the farm or been on the farm, and there's potential there. But it also, you know, goes along with the way I learned to hunt. You know, you got to find the trails. You got to find where the deer are moving and learn what's there. It's because I've got a limited space. It borders other woods, you know, and I know where the deer enter from the field and come down the finger that'll pass by one of the stands that I have in there. And, you know, I know that, and they do that from time to time. I know that there's a certain trail along a creek that they utilize a lot and have a stand set up there. So, had a sneeze come and go. I know where the bedding area is, and I know not to push that area, but I know to watch that area, you know, in the evenings, in the mornings, when they're going and coming. And, you know, it's just a matter of studying the land and knowing, you know, if a tree falls across the trail, what do you do? What do? You go cut the tree up, or do you see where the deer has either jumped over the log or skirted it or cut another path to get around it? You know, that's what you got to find out. That's why you got to stay in touch with your woods. So, and that's the part I enjoy, the scouting, the woodsmanship. You know, taking pictures of the rubs and the scrapes and seeing where the deer have been and, you know, looking for places where, you know, they might do a scrape. They might have a licking branch there. And if, you know, there's a potential spot, you know, break down a limb and put it over the spot and see if they start using it as a scrape spot. So there's a lot of stuff to do, a lot of stuff. Anyway, that's part of my philosophy. Yep. So Clyde Sports Shop, you know, they're they're stocked up. fishing tackle. I told you that a couple weeks ago I bought my first St. Croix rod there, and put a Fluger President reel on it, and really enjoyed that combination. Caught a nice bass on it first time I used it, which was a couple nice bass, actually, and I really enjoy the action. I bought the 7-foot bass rod. It says bass on it. That's how I know it's a bass rod, in big letters and neon green print. but it's you know, it's been a good one for me. And of course, I've had ugly sticks and I've had Fluger rods, and gosh, I remember my dad's bait caster that he used to troll with up in Canada was a Fluger rod and reel, casting rod and reel, not a bait caster, but they called them casting back then. And I was trolling with it on Lake Somerset when I was a teenager, and I don't know if it got snagged or got a hit on it or whatever happened, but overboard it went, and I was never able to retrieve it. I felt bad about that because I know that was not an inexpensive setup, the Fluger rod and reel that he had. But it's at the bottom of Lake Somerset somewhere. Anyway, they carry pen, they carry kids fishing combos, and we got some free fishing days coming up, so you might want to pay attention to that and get the kids out there. And of course, they have all kinds of fishing line. They can wrap line on your spool for you without any problem at all. Live and frozen bait, crabbing supplies, anything you need, trot lines, traps, nets, gloves, even got the steamers and their own seasoning. But for rockfish, they've got the circle hooks, the bucktails, the umbrellas, the parachutes, and all the above. 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Baltimore, Lansdowne, 242-6108 is the phone number, 410-242-6108. ClydeSportsShop.com is the website. Clyde's has been around since 1957. Open 7 days a week. Stop by. You'll be glad you did. So we'll be right back.
Madonna Seafood is known for having the best crabs and seafood in Harford County. Madonna Seafood is just a quick scenic trip from Baltimore up to Laney Valley Road. Now, Madonna Seafood Carryout has delicious steamed crabs by the dozen to the bushel, great seafood, pizza, subs, Fisher's popcorn, and a whole lot more. Call into the carryout at 410-557-2722. That's 410-557-CRAB. Madonna Seafood Restaurant is a full-service casual dining restaurant with all-you-can-eat crabs in a quiet atmosphere with an extensive menu. Take exit 27B off the 695 Beltway. That's Delaney Valley Road North, Route 146. Turn left on Norrisville Road, and you've arrived at Madonna Seafood. Madonna Seafood, year-round crabs. 4105 Norrisville Road in Whitehall, Maryland. Madonna Seafood is open at 11 a.m. and closed Mondays. 410-557-CRAB, 2722, madonnaseafood.com.
Baltimore is listening to Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County. And now, back to the Outdoorsman Radio Show with Alan and Robin Ellis.
Believe it or not, we're at the end of the first hour. How about that? Well, we'll be back, don't worry. If you got to leave us now, if you're heading turkey hunting or whatever you're doing, going fishing, remember the four things: faith, family, friends, freedom. Any order you want. They're all important. So get out, stay out, stay safe. We will see you back here after the news.